So, he hadn't sung it in a while, and I sprung it on her tonight, so you pray for her, and this is worth this song.
Different. I'm a lot older now. I am thinking about heaven a lot. I have a lot of family and friends up there, and I'm so glad God made a place for us.
Yeah.
I thank Him for saving me. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, that should be your number one goal,
right,
to get to Jesus. I have 9 grandchildren now. None of them saved. They're all young ages. But I wish you'd pray for them, because I want to see them saved.
Amen.
Amen. Man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Thank you, may be seated. Father, we just come this evening, Lord, and we do thank you. It's already been expressed in one of the prayers. Lord, we thank you for the salvation, Lord, of Brennan this morning.
Thank you.
And Lord, we thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our morning service, Lord.
Thank you. Amen.
And Father, this morning we focused upon, Lord, that place called hell. Lord, we said this morning that God willing, we're going to preach tonight about heaven. And so I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll help us tonight, Lord, to preach about heaven with as much, Lord, with as much compassion and desire and fervency, Lord, as we did the other this morning. And Father, I pray tonight, if somebody here tonight's not going there, Lord, I pray that before this service is over, that they'll have their destination, their ticket changed. And Lord, they'll be going to this place called heaven. Lord, those that are going and are sure of it, Lord, tonight, and we love to hear about it. We love to think about it. And I pray that God would just send the Lord, the Holy Ghost down from heaven tonight to give us heavenly thoughts.
Yes,
Lord, we just read to the folks there that I have not seen, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love them. And so we know that every sermon we ever heard on heaven fell short. And I'm sure this will fall short because we simply don't have the words to express it. But I pray you'd help to do the best that you can for the glory of God and for Jesus Christ. And be a blessing to the church and the saints tonight. And we'll ask it all in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
These verses we've read tonight, of course, are referring to the place called heaven. The Bible says that that eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, the Bible tells us that heaven is a place, and we understand that. Jesus said in John 14:1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going away to provide a place. So we know tonight that heaven is a real place. It's spoke about as a country. It's spoke about as a city. It's spoke about as a place where people dwell. Heaven is a place. Now, it's not just any old place, though. Heaven is a paradise. The Bible said that Jesus told that thief there on the cross, there in Luke 23, the Bible said that Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. So, we know that heaven is a paradise of a place. And then we also know that God has given us a promise, as we just quoted there a minute ago. The Bible said, he said, for those that are saved, that if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So the Lord's given us a promise there. He said, we have an inheritance in 1 Peter 1:4. We have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you and kept by the power of God. So we realize that that heaven is the home, the place of the saved. Now, let me say this evening that heaven is a place that is hoped for by all believers. Okay, all true believers, it is a place that we hope someday to go to. That word hope doesn't mean that we think we might not make it. When the Bible uses that word hope, we use it in a different way. And it doesn't mean it the way we use it in our kind of a day. But this is our hope. This is our hope that's steadfast and sure. We know that for those that are saved, that we're as sure there as if we was already there. We know that because of our connection with the Lord, and we're part of His body, and His body's in heaven, and we're part of His body, so He's seated there by the right hand of God the Father, so we're already seated there in Him.
Right.
And our affections are there. The Bible said we're set our affections on things up there. Our records there, our treasures are being laid up there, and one of these days we'll be there. Amen. So heaven is a hope of all believers that are true believers. Now there is some folks that have a, you know, they talk about heaven and they talk as if they're going to go there and they hope to go there, but their hope is not a real hope. It's like the way we use the hope here. They're hoping somehow they'll slip in. They're hoping that somehow that they'll die and wake up there. And so it's not a reality to those folks. It's just something they're kind of dreaming about and hope someday they might just land there. But everybody that goes to heaven is going to plan to go there. Amen. Jesus said he went away to prepare a place for those that are saved is what he's saying. All right, sometimes it's short preparation, like the thief on the cross. He didn't make much plans. He should have planned earlier, but thank God he got in before it's too late.
Amen.
So we thank the Lord for that. But all the saints, all the believers down through the ages, this is what they've looked forward to.
Right.
Amen. All of the people in the Bible, this is why they went through what they went through, why they endured what they're enduring. This is what they sung about, what they talked about. It is what they, where they want to end up when this earthly life is over. It is indeed a reality.
Amen.
Let's take, for instance, Abraham. He's been around a long time. And Abraham was around before Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. The Bible says that Abraham, one day God spoke to him in Hebrews 11. And the Bible said that he said, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive, for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was not looking for a earthly city. Abraham dwelled in tents, if you will, tabernacles, tents. Abraham dwelt in them because he had no permanent place down here. He was looking for a heavenly place. You say, well, Brother Rick said, Abraham, that's so long ago that Abraham didn't even know nothing about heaven. Because that's so long ago that Abraham didn't know nothing about Jesus, and Abraham didn't know anything about the gospel, and Abraham didn't know anything about none of that stuff. But in John 8, Jesus was talking to those Pharisees, and they said, Abraham's our father. And Jesus said in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it. He said, and he was glad. Amen. You say, well, you say Abraham didn't know nothing about the gospel. Well, the Bible said in Galatians 3 and verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Preached the gospel unto Abraham. Preach the gospel unto Abraham, saying that in thee shall all the nations be blessed. You say, when did Abraham ever have the gospel preached unto him? I believe he had the gospel preached unto him when he took Isaac up on the mountain and he offered him. And God gave him a picture there, and he showed him that one of these days that God would provide his own son to die for the sins of all humanity. And so Abraham had enough of the gospel that he believed God. And everybody in heaven, anybody you meet in heaven when you get there, anybody you meet walking down the streets of gold and God and glory, and you won't meet anybody that don't believe in God. Everybody there believes in God. Not only do they believe in God, everybody there believes in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why that they're there. There's no atheists there, no infidels there, because heaven is a place for people that have faith, because the Bible said Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We have seen that this morning. We see Brennan come down. We see him with his heart convicted and broken, and
realizing he didn't want to go to hell. And we see him praying there. I know after a while Nathan was showing him some scripture there. I'm not sure what it was. He may have been at that point giving him assurance verses because he'd already been saved. But what he was saying was, he was saying, I believe God. I believe what God wrote in that book. I believe what God said in that book. And Abraham believed God. Brennan believed God. Everybody that's going to be in heaven someday is going to be there because there was a time and their place in their life where they believed what God said.
Yeah.
If you believe me, trust my son, one day you will go to heaven. Thank God.
Amen.
Moses believed the same thing. Moses, one day the Bible said he saw him that was invisible. Hebrews 11.
Amen.
It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, and knowing that to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now, there came a day when Moses, he sang, yes sir, Pharaoh, you sure got a big place here. Yes sir, you got a lot of gold, you got a lot of things. But I've seen something that I hadn't seen. I've seen what Abraham seen. I believe that there's a city that God's a building. I want to go there someday. And I believe it did. Amen. And then there's Paul there. You know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote there in 2 Corinthians, there Paul talks about it, this earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God eternal in the heavens, he said.
Yeah.
When Paul was dying there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he's about ready to be martyred. And Paul says, I'm now ready to be offered. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. Where are you going, Paul? The time of my departure is at hand. You go down to the airport there, you'll see up there on the board there, flights departing at such and such time. Paul knew that his flight was about to take off. Amen. And he knew that his departure was about to take place. Where are you going, Paul? He said, well, he said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, that righteous judge, will give me, and not to me only, but all those that love his appearing. And so tonight, heaven is a place hoped for by all believers. It is our home. She sung about that old man. Old man, where's your home? And he started talking about it. Heaven is our home. During that awful time of the Holocaust and Hitler's cruel regime and people being slaughtered and murdered and all the terrible things that happened to Jews as well as many other people. And they began to try to get some of those Jews out to bring them over to America. And they'd talk about America, American people over there, the soldiers sitting at the other, they had told him about this country. Those Jews had never seen it. They had never been here. They didn't know what it was like here in America. They didn't know what it looked like, but they would hear about it. And after hearing about it during those terrible times, eventually they began to move those Jews, the ones that they could get out. They brought them to America. And during that time, even though they had never been here, when they would be leaving to come to this country that they had never seen, they would tell the others that were there, they would be telling them bye, and they was going to be leaving, and they had never seen America, but yet they called America home. And as those that were leaving, they'd say, well, as they would be crying with a veil of tears and hugging and children leaving parents and parents leaving children, and those that were coming to America to a place they had never been, only heard about it, never seen it, only heard talk about it. And they said, no, They said, well, you must go home, but we must dwell here in this foreign country. They called where they were a foreign country, and they called the place they'd never seen or been to home. And that's like us tonight, amen. We're living here, but this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This is not home for me. Home for me is up there. I'm dwelling down here in a foreign country. And so heaven is a place that's hoped for by all believers. Amen. And I tell you that heaven is the place of indescribable beauty.
Yes.
Paul said, I have not seen, neither have been in the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. We try with songs and sermons to describe heaven, but the words do not exist among mortal man to be able to describe such a place called heaven. Paul the apostle went there and he didn't even try to describe it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, it is not expedient for me, doubtless the glory, I will come to visions and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Where the in the body I cannot tell, where the out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one and caught him up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words that which is not lawful for a man to utter. Amen. Paul said he was caught up into that third heaven. Yeah. Paul said that he's the one who wrote Corinthians, and he said he couldn't describe what he seen up there. One, God told him not to, but the words are not found there to even describe what he saw. John comes closer to it, many of them in the Revelation. Well, the Bible says that he saw the city of God there in John 21, John 22. John tries to describe what he saw, but he don't have the ability to really describe all that he's seen. Amen. You ever try to tell somebody about something that you've seen and you've seen it, but and you just want to tell them, describe it, but it's just not there. The ability to tell how beautiful that it is. It's like going to the Grand Canyon and trying to tell somebody that hadn't been there what it looks like. Amen. Like the old Indian walked out there and stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon, looked for a long time, and he said, huh, something big happened here. And I'll tell you, when we get to heaven, amen, it's going to be a place of indescribable beauty. But when John tried to describe it, we find him using words we think about as being beautiful things. John talked about heaven having precious stones. John talked about heaven having streaks of gold.
Amen.
John talked about heaven having gates of pearl. John talked about heaven having a crystal river. John talked about heaven having clear glass. And so he describes things of an uncomparable beauty that you and I would think about in this place that God calls heaven. Amen. So heaven is a beautiful place, and when we get there, we'll see just how beautiful that it is. I read about a young boy that was raised up in a very poor home. They never had very much, and a lot of times they'd walk down through the streets of town where they lived, and they'd walk down and look through windows where they, at that time, they'd have stores on the square. And they'd have beautiful things there in the window that you could look through the window and see. And one day that little boy got sick and he was in the hospital and some people came to see him. And when they came, they brought him some little pieces of some little glass figurines of little soldiers, little toys. And they brought them and they set them on the table there. The little boy looked at him out of his bed there. There were these little crystal soldiers and little crystal army men and these little things. And he sat there and looked at him for a long time. The tears brimmed up in his eyes. And they said, well, what do you think about it? And in a minute he reached out there and he touched one of them little glass figurines. And he said, there's no glass between. I've never been able to touch it because there's always been glass between. I'm glad, thank God, that heaven's a place where there's nothing between. Amen. There'll be nothing between us. And we'll be able to walk on those streets of gold. We'll be able to swing open them gates of one big pearl. We'll be able, my friend, to see all that God said is there. And look at the names of those 12 apostles and the names of those there in the foundation. We'll be able to go down to that crystal river and look at it as it proceeds out of the throne of God. We'll be able to go down to them trees that have 12 manner of fruit for the healing of the nations. If you went down an apple tree in bloom, it's a beautiful thing when the apples are on there. But you think about a tree down here on earth that had apples on it, and oranges on it, and bananas on it, and all kinds of fruit on one tree. Amen. I tell you, it's going to be a beautiful place. Jesus simply said this. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. Now you say, Brother Rick, other Bibles say rooms. I know they do. They say, the King James Bible mistranslated wrong. It should be rooms instead of mansions. Well, let me ask you something, Mr. Smarty. How do you think a place in heaven would be a room or a mansion? Yeah. What do you think? Amen. Hey, I got a room down here. Amen. I'll tell you, heaven's going to be a place, thank God. Jesus described it. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. I've been to some earthly mansions. But these are even greater than them. Amen. I've seen some beautiful, beautiful mansions. Furnished, and God's let me go into some houses that cost lots of money. Amen.
Amen.
But I went up and they belonged to somebody else.
Amen.
When this thing's all over, we get to heaven, you come down and I'll show you mine.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And then he said, my Father's house are many mansions.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Did you ever, being a kid growing up, maybe even after being an adult, did you ever go somewhere, and they're giving away stuff, and you went there to get in on it, and they run out just so they got to you.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen.
They ain't going to run out.
Right.
Amen.
Listen, brother. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Heaven's a place of indescribable beauty.
Amen.
Can I tell you tonight that heaven's a place of, thank God, perfect health?
Yes.
Amen.
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 That's right.
You know, the further we get along down here, these old bodies start to break down.
Amen.
And they get sick, and we get sick. We have all these things to contend with, and heart disease, and diabetes, and cancer, and Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's, and all these different things that we have to deal with down here. But the Bible says that heaven's a place. Well, let's just read what the Bible says about it, okay?
Amen.
In John 21, the Bible says, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God's with men. He shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Amen.
And there shall be no more death.
Praise the Lord.
Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain.
Amen.
For the former things are passed away. Amen.
Amen.
No more pain, thank God. You see, why is it that there ain't no more pain, Brother Rick? Look back at Mark, and we'll show you something. Mark 9, in Mark chapter 9. It's interesting just how this thing's worded. You see, Jesus, the Bible says in Mark 9, he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there shall be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death, shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come. Amen. Let's see, maybe it's Matthew 9, if I could get the wrong text there, Matthew 9. Yeah, Matthew 9. And it said, Matthew 9, 1, it said, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Amen. See that? Then he came into his own city, and behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You say, well, Brother Rick, what's that got to do with anything? He said he came into his own city. There's a sick man there. He said, we can't have this. Amen. It's a picture of heaven.
Right. Amen.
Those sick people in heaven, thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody there, Jesus heals them all in heaven. I've seen people get healed down here in my 34 years of ministry. I've seen God touch people, heal people. I've met people that have been healed of cancer. I've met people that was dying. I mean, hours away from death. And God healed them. I know God can heal. I know God can do that. I've seen God do that in my ministry. I've seen God heal people that the doctor said there's no hope, there's no way they're going to make it. God healed them. I see a lot more people God didn't heal. You say, why did he heal them? Well, I don't know. That's God's business. Amen.
Yeah.
But everybody gets healed. Whether they get healed here or they get healed over there, everybody gets healed.
Amen.
Now, if you get healed here, you're going to get sick again.
Right.
But if you get healed over there, you won't ever be sick anymore.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes we feel like God's sliding people because you don't heal up here. But really, they're better off over there because if they get sick and die and they go over there, then they get healed and they'll never be sick again. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God, isn't that good?
Yeah.
Jesus healed all. You see, we're going to have a brand new body.
Right.
Amen. The Bible says in Philippians, the Bible said in Philippians 3, it says there, verse 20 through verse 21, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies.
Amen.
It may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the work of whereby he is able even to do all things unto himself.
Thank you, Lord.
He'll change his body. Amen. People lose their leg, they're going to get it back.
Amen.
Amen. People that lose their minds and they can't remember, all that kind of stuff, they're going to get a brand new mind.
Amen.
Amen. They won't ever forget anything again.
Yes.
People that's blind, they're going to get brand new eyes.
Amen.
Amen. People that can't hear, they're going to get to be able to hear. Amen. People that can't talk, they're going to be able to talk. Amen. You won't see anybody going down them streets of gold with a wheelchair.
That's right.
Pushing somebody else.
Amen.
The fact of business is some of the people that you saw in wheelchairs down here be running up there.
Amen,
brother. Amen. Amen. We'll see nobody down here up there with crutches. Amen. Because he heals them all.
That's right.
We're going to have a perfect body up there. And we're going to have perfect understanding up there. The Apostle Paul said, now we know in part. And he said, now we know in part, but he said, that which is perfect, he said, that which is in part is made perfect. He said, then we shall know. Amen. We're going to know everything when we get there. And poor little kids we talked about this morning burn up in that house fire. Amen. We can't explain stuff like that. Amen. People say, Brother Rick, why did something like that happen? Well, I mean, we know it happened because somebody left something too close to a wall heater. But why did that happen? Amen. You know, I heard this week, Maxwell was talking this week, and we're sitting there watching the news, and it come on about a little baby somebody left outside below zero weather, and they left it out there, and somebody come by, found that little baby. And Maxwell said, boy, God was watching over that little baby, wouldn't he? And I didn't say anything, but I thought, well, God, why wouldn't you watch over them little babies in that house?
Right.
I mean, I'm honest. That's my fault. That's what I thought. You ever think like that? That's what I thought.
Amen. Absolutely.
That's what I thought. But you see, I know in part.
Right, exactly.
God's got a plan. I don't know what it is. But he said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. We know in part, and we prophesy in part.
Right.
If you walk down the streets of heaven and you run into me, you say, Brother Rick, why did your little children burn up in that house? I'll say, here's why they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I say, here's why that happened. And by the way, let me introduce you one of them. Amen.
Right.
Yes, amen.
Woo!
Amen. See, down here we know in part. We don't have perfect understanding down here. Amen. We have a lot of whys down here. We have a lot of questions down here. But there's a lot of answers up there.
That's right.
Amen. God will give us all the answers up there. God, you know, one of the things that the Lord's doing and stuff like that, one of the things God's doing, you see, we really don't want to leave down here most of the time. But we like sermons about heaven. We like to read about it. We believe it. We know it's real. We're just not in a real big hurry to get there while we're feeling good. Amen. And that's just true. That's just the way it is. Amen. But you see, God, He starts taking things away. We get where we can't sleep good. We get where we can't hardly see. We can't see good.
Amen.
We get where we can't hear like we used to. We get where it's a problem to get up and down and get out of bed. We get where that these old bodies start breaking down and things start happening to them. We start losing a lot of what we got down here. Amen.
Yeah.
What God's doing is God has to take away things down here to make us want to go over there.
Amen.
That's right.
You see that. I read about an old preacher and he's actually about a middle-aged preacher. And even though he was a preacher, he said he always had problems when he'd go to thinking about dying and he'd go to think about leaving this world, going to heaven. He said it always bothered him. But he said one day God helped him. He said there was an older gentleman there in the community that was an old preacher. And the old preacher, he was going to have to give up his home. And he'd actually got another home. He was going to have to give it up. And they went down there to an old preacher's house and they cleared everything out. They took the stove out. They took the couch out. They took his books out. They took his desk out. They took his chair out. And one by one, they took everything out of his house. His wife was done gone. His children were gone. And they got everything out. They said the old preacher walked in there and the preacher's watching him that's been having trouble about leaving this world and dying. He watches that old preacher as the old preacher walks in the bedroom. And he looks in there where his children that have long gone, where they used to sleep. And then he walks over to the other bedroom and he looks there where him and his wife, where they slept many night there in that bedroom. And then he walks over into the kitchen where the table was. And no doubt he's recollected when his wife would fix breakfast and put it on the table. And they'd sit there and drink coffee and talk about the children.
Bless you, brother.
And then he walked over to the closet where his clothes used to be. Everything's gone. He's standing there. And the tears are running down his face. And one of the men is helping him move. He says, Sir. He said, everything's gone and your new home's going to be a lot better. That's the way heaven is.
Yeah.
Amen.
We go through life. And all that we had, little by little, we start losing.
Bless you, Lord.
And one day the dear Holy Ghost comes and says, Sir.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yes.
Amen. Everything's gone and your new home's going to be a lot better.
Bless you, preacher.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Heaven's going to be a place like that.
Yes.
And I tell you, heaven is a place, thank God, where sin will never enter.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
Revelations 21:27 tells us that. You see, sin destroyed the first paradise. But it'll never destroy the next paradise.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Bible says that no sin will be allowed to enter in.
Right.
So all that stuff is outside the gate. I remember the first time I went to Jamaica. And we went there to Montego Bay and if you've ever been to Montego Bay, it's a very beautiful place. And you've probably seen pictures of it on the television. And they show the green ocean there and the beaches and all the big motels. I mean, it's a very, very beautiful place. That is, until you step outside of the city limits. When you step outside of the city limits, you enter into another world. The little kids run up to you, pulling on your clothes and saying, Sir, can you give me a quarter? Sir, can you give me something to eat that's constant? You look out into the garbage heap and people out there and they're going through the old the KFC there in town. They just dump it all, the garbage, right over into the little river outside of town there. You see the little Jamaican boys and girls down there, and they're going through those old chicken boxes trying to find just a little leg or a little breast or maybe a biscuit somebody didn't eat. And just right outside the city, while right in the city, people are eating, feasting like kings. You say, why's that, Brother Rick? Well, that's the way heaven is. Amen. We step inside heaven, it's a place of no sin. It's a place where everybody has all they want.
That's right.
It's a place where everybody has a house. There is no homeless people and no garbage can be found anywhere. But when you step outside the gate into this old world, amen, we see what sin has done. We see what sin has done.
Amen.
Heaven's a place of eternal reunion, thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Heaven's a place of eternal reunion. I like that song, Beulah Land. There's a line in there that says, no sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. Amen. Heaven's a place of eternal reunion. Thank God. Those that have died in the Lord are there and are waiting for us to come. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, I probably quote it just about every funeral I preach, especially those that are Christians. And Paul says, I would not have you to sorrow as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, even those that sleep with Jesus, will God bring with him when he comes.
Heaven.
For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord,
yeah,
which are alive remains, and not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive remain shall be called together to be with the Lord. Wheresoever we shall ever be with the Lord, comfort one another with these words. So there's going to be a great reunion today. Amen. You see, Jesus is over there. I want to see him, don't you?
Amen.
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 I've sung what a friend we have in Jesus. I've talked to him. I've talked to him every day of my life.
Amen.
For the last 34 years, spent hours with him. I want to see him, Paul.
Amen.
He woke me up this week. Been a while since the Lord woke me up.
Bless him, Lord.
2:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
The Lord said, wake up. I woke up. The Lord said, she.
Yeah, get up.
Yeah. Been a while since the Lord woke me up. The last time he came, I was like that woman in the Song of Solomon. I said, Lord, I'm asleep. I already got the clothes on. Talk to you in the morning. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Lord said, my God. Lord, is that you? Well, I didn't waste no time. I got up. I got out. Went in there and got my Bible.
Hey!
I went in there on the floor and laid on my face. Talk to the Lord. In 2:00, 4:00.
Yeah.
I want to see.
Amen.
Yeah. I want to see him, sung about him, preached about him, heard sermons about him. The Bible said heaven's a place where we shall see him face.
See him in his
face. Face.
Heaven.
Amen. Amen. Heaven's a place where all the saints of old are gathered.
Yeah.
Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Daniel, Timothy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Amen. They're all over. They're all the old saints of the past.
Yeah.
Ezekiel. All over there. We'll be able to fellowship and have reunion with them throughout the eternal ages. Amen.
Amen.
Preacher said when he was young, he said, when I was young, he said, my views of heaven, my vision of heaven was streets of gold, walls of jasper, a gate of pearl, crystal river, throne, lots of angels, and one or two people there. But he says, as I begin to get older, he said, I had a friend to die. He was a Christian. And he went there. So then my views of heaven were all of that still, but my one friend, he said, time went on a little bit longer. and other friends died. And then my visions of heaven was all of that and three or four friends there. And then he said, as I got older, my daddy died. My granddaddy died. And my visions of heaven were all of that. But granddaddy was there. He said, and then grandma died. And in my visions of heaven, it was no longer a city with just one person in it. He said, but my grandpa was there. My grandma was there. My daddy was there. My mama was there.
Heaven!
Then he said, I had several children, and one of them died. And he said, when that child died, he said, then I felt like that part of me was there even more.
Yeah.
He said, before long, he said, now I looked, and now I'm an old man. He said, now I look, and the streets of heaven are full. My friends, my family, my loved ones.
Amen.
We're all there. Hey! He said, one day I looked down and I said, Lord, I got more people over there than I got here. Amen. Heaven's place of reunion.
Yeah.
Young boy who years ago when they had the still got trains, but used to it was the main means of travel. The train was going from out west from the east coast. And the young boy was put on that train, just a young boy was put on that train. And he got on there, and there were several people on there, and they couldn't believe that a young boy was, you know, on that train by himself traveling so far. And they watched the young boy as he'd look out the window, and he just seemed to smile and whistle and grin. And miles he went, and they watched that young boy, and he still just seemed happy. Everybody else getting tired from the journey and weary, wore out, and he's just grinning. And finally, one of the every ladies would go over to him. They're almost to a destination to go over to him. She said, son, this trip, it's been long. He said, yes, ma'am, it's been longer than I thought it was going to be. She said, but son, said, you seem so happy. And she said, you seem like you just keep looking out the window and you seem so happy. He said, oh, I am happy, ma'am. He said, because just a few more miles, my father's waiting for me.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And I said that you thought about somebody waiting over there for you.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Heaven's a place of reunion. Perfect reunion. John said there's no more sea. And Vance Havner, the great Southern Baptist preacher, Vance Havner said, when the Bible says there's no more sea, he said, what it's meaning there's no more separation because seas divide continents.
Right. Yeah.
He said, there'll be no more division. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God heaven's a place of eternal reunion.
Amen.
Amen.
Where the saints of God will be together again and never, ever, ever will we be separated from each other. Again.
Right.
Amen. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
No wonder Paul said that I have not seen neither through the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him.
Amen.
I love Him tonight.
Amen.
I think many of you, I pray all of you, love Him tonight.
Amen.
God has prepared a place for us when this life is over.
Amen.
Amen. You know you can lose sight of heaven?
Oh, yes. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
It's an old song. I've tried to think of the name of it. But the line of the song says, I wonder if people really go there. And one day, sweet Jesus, He stepped in. And I got a vision of glory. My soul out of heaven, thank God, did win.
Yeah.
I remember my daddy standing at my grandmother, Prophet's, his mother's casket. Her brother was there. He was a good Christian man. He was standing there when I brought my dad in. My dad at that time was way out, not living for the Lord, and just life in a mess. And I remember we went up the casket there, and we went up there, and daddy saw her just a moment. And my grandmother's uncle was standing there. Grandmother's brother was standing there. He shook my dad's hand. He said, Lance, said, I'm sorry about you, mother, but he said, she's in a better place. And said, she's in heaven.
And I heard my dad say, I don't even know if there is a heaven or not. You say, what happened? You're not saved? No, he's saved. He just lost sight of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Once he got the sin out, washed the window off, and got where he'd see again, you go talk to him today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
He won't be talking about it.
Right.
Maybe not you lost sight. Maybe you had thoughts like that, wondering if people really go there. Are they really there?
Amen.
If that Bible's true, they are.
That's right.
Right. Amen.
Amen. R.G. Lee preached a great message called The World's Blackest Deception. He preached out of that verse where it said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, he said, we're of all men most miserable.
That's right.
If our faith in Christ is only in this life, we're of all men most miserable. I'm not miserable tonight. Because I have a hope settled deep in my soul.
Yes.
I caught a little glimpse of it at 10 years old. Lord lets me live today, I'll be 60. It's looking better to me all the time.
Yeah.
I believed it that Sunday morning, but I believe it a whole lot more right now.
Amen.
Heaven, I'm going. Are you going? If you're not going, Jesus is passing out tickets tonight.
Amen.
And you need to get one. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight for the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful place that you prepared for those that love you. Lord, we don't need to lose sight of that, because when we hit them rough spaces down here, rough roads, and get in the last part of a journey, sometimes the roads get pretty rough. But as Sister Morrow sings from time to time, maybe just over the next hill, be home.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful eternity that we're going to have in that place that God's prepared for them that love Him. Lord, may heaven be real in every heart tonight.
Yes,
if somebody not going there, please, Lord, help them to get on board.
Yes.
By trusting Christ and confessing their sin, believing on Him for the payment of it. And Lord, believe it on Him to get them from here to there when this life's over. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand if you would, please.
Number 31. 31.
Bless him, Lord. Saved me 26 years ago, made an eternal decision to have a home in heaven. Lewis Arnold, one time he preached here, heaven's not that far away. And I get thinking about heaven, it just seems like it just keeps getting closer and closer. And I know one day there'll be an eternal day, finally get home, look around, and we'll know what it is to be in heaven. Amen. I appreciate the message tonight. Appreciate the truth of the Word of God tonight. Man, I know the devil attacks all Christians, but it seems like and sometimes, buddy, he walks up down my back. But I'm glad, praise God, it's well my soul. And praise God, I thank God for a place called heaven that Jesus went away
from. Amen,
brother. Appreciate being here.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise God. Anybody else tonight? Word of testimony for the Lord. Anyone else tonight? Yes.
Bless. Bless. Bless.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. All right. Anybody else tonight? Word of testimony. Don't forget that revival down at Brotherhood. It's early time, 6 o'clock. But if you get down there, I hope you'll go. I know they need the support, and Brother Andy would be glad to see you. And so if you can get down there and be in that meeting this week, Monday or Tuesday night. Brother Nathan said this morning we can't keep him going on Wednesday, but we'd like him to be here on Wednesday. But we just ask you to remember that. If you can't go working second shift or we're getting off at 7 or something, just pray for it and pray that the Lord help them have a good meeting down there. All right then, all hearts free and clear then, we're going to let you be dismissed. Lord bless you. Have a good week. Be careful going home. Little snow up there.
Oh, yeah.